Welcome to Life Uncharted Podcast with Damola, Diana, and Shayo. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Life Uncharted Podcast. My name is Damola. Shayo and Diana are here, as always. I mean, not as always, because the episode's without Shayo. I don't think there's an episode without Diana. But anyway, welcome to another episode. How are you guys doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much. Today has been a day off, so I've been just chilling. So I have energy. So I'm great. Hello, everyone. Shayo here, as always.
So Shayo, you have been chilling. Well done, no?
Yes, girl. Chilling. I'm preparing myself for the next 3 days when I'm actually busy. So, yeah.
Diana, how are you?
So, yes, I am fine. I'm tired. I'm just exhausted with I'm having light issues every time. That's because one thing is spoiling or the other. But I'm good. I think I'm just like generally tired. And today I realized that you'll not believe what I realized. I have realized that it's been almost a year working at this place and I haven't taken my leave yet. Like, it just dawned on me today. And I'm now here trying to be like, where can I take my leave? When can I take my leave that would give me most of my leave days, maybe not all, because it's almost like rounding off to like a year. Just like, when can I take my leave that I will maximize it? And bruh, anyway, yeah, that's what's up.
Sorry, why haven't you taken your leave? I'm so confused about that.
Damola, I did not realize. Do you understand? Like,
is that how much you like work?
That's what I was going to say.
That's really not it. No, that's really not it.
Workaholic.
So you know that I was sick at some point, so like I was off for a bit. So in my head, that was my leave period. Do you understand? But obviously that wasn't.
Question though. What how many leave days do you have that you haven't taken? So you haven't taken any of the 20 leave days that you have?
Apparently, yeah.
Bruh.
Oh my god.
You better start taking them now. I mean, obviously you know when you'll take them.
I've already.
That's interesting. Can never be me.
That wouldn't be me. Like, I'm very surprised. Even if like I'm not like I obviously not do anything, do you understand? So like I'm very surprised that I haven't taken it. Like, it's very It was something I found. I was like, what? That's not possible.
Okay, now that you know, I actually hope you will do something with it. Hopefully. If you like, don't do it.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I'm going to do with it. But like, yeah. I'm just trying to make it coincide with something. That's why.
Oh, okay. All right. And this something is not for the podcast listeners, Abby. That's why, yes. Because every time you become vague like this, I know you don't want people to know what you want to say.
Free the girl now.
Because that's what she used to do. It's just like in the previous, was it the previous episode or so? Or maybe the two episodes ago. She was like, oh, there's something that happened today and it's very exciting. And she just kept going on and on and on about something that she wouldn't share. So
that was her news to share. We need that one, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that every time she becomes vague, you just know she does not want to say
for the public.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily not for the public. It's just that I'm not certain. That's why. Yeah, so it's not like it's such a vague. No, it's not.
No problem. Anyway, let's get into the business of the day. So we have been talking about turning 30 or the road to 30 in the last two episodes, and in the first part we looked at I've actually forgotten what we looked at in the first part. Sorry. I think we talked about finances.
Yes.
And in the second part we talked about relationships, so different kinds of relationships, and this is hopefully the final part of this series. Because I feel like we've been at it for a while and everybody now knows that we're all turning 30 and we're old women. So, oh my God.
I'm sorry, not me, please. Let's be guided. Okay.
Please, we are all actually...
Is 30 in the room with us?
I'm sorry. Would it be 30 in a year? Or no. Less than a year?
No. It's 30 okay, in a room with me. No. All right. Maybe with you and Damo.
Okay. Anyway, whatever the case may be, I'm already 30. Yes, I turned 30 last week. I'm still alive. The world did not end. And I feel good. But today we're going to be discussing about something very important. I would say one of my favorite and least favorite topics at the same time, because I'm never sure how to properly talk about it. But anyway, three of us, I assume, are all Christians. That's Diana, Shia, and I. I'm just joking. We're all Christians. And we're basically going to be talking about our faith, right? You know, how it has changed or how it hasn't changed since our early 20s until now, and what we might be changing or not changing. So I'm going to start because I feel more comfortable talking about my own story, and then hopefully Shia and Diana are going to be able to answer my questions, and hopefully we'll have a great discussion. So I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for, I think, since high school, actually, though I've been going to church since I was a child. And as I've said in previous episodes, I moved to Hungary when I was 19. So I was just getting into my 20s and figuring out what all of that was like, right? But the real test really for me was leaving Nigeria and moving to Hungary for the first time, because I had a chance to really figure out things for myself when it comes to my faith. So I didn't have my parents, you know, saying, oh, it's time to go to church, or like in high school where you have the matron or something saying, okay, it's time for chapel and you had to go. I had to figure out if I wanted to go to church or not. So I did the natural thing that I would do. I found a church. I started going there. And I kept going to the church, even though I was deeply uncomfortable at the time and I didn't feel like I was in the right place. I kept going because I felt, oh, I just have to go to church. I cannot be at home, you know, all of those things. But at some point, I was like, what exactly am I doing? Why am I punishing myself? I absolutely hate it here. Why do I keep going? And then one day I stopped. I completely stopped going to church. And this was very new, obviously, for me. It was very different because I think at that time I was already 20 when I stopped going to church. And maybe my parents, friends would ask me and they'd be like, oh, did you go to church? And I'd be like, no, I didn't go. And it was kind of, I won't say liberating, but it was different saying that, yeah, I didn't go to church because I did not want to go to church. I didn't have to go to church. And it didn't mean I stopped being a Christian. I would still pray at home. I would still read my Bible. I would watch service online, but I wasn't exactly part of a community until eventually I found a church. And, you know, that ended up being my church until I graduated from uni. So all of this story that I've just told you people that you did not clearly ask for, it just sets a foundation of kind of like the growth I've had from, would I say, early 20s until now. So I think that forms the question I want to ask Diana and Shia. Do you feel like anything has changed in kind of you finding your faith for yourself from, you know, transitioning from being a teenager and like being someone in their late 20s, almost 30s? Do you feel like anything has changed in that journey? Do you feel like your faith restricted you in any way? Do you feel like your faith, you know, stopped you from living your best life? Or do you feel like you grew into a better understanding of your faith all through these years and it wasn't something that your parents wanted you to do? It now turned out to be something you wanted to do for yourself. So that's my question.
Thank you for sharing your story and your journey so far, Damola. I think that's a really good question. Again, every time people ask these questions, I start, like, as you're speaking, I'm thinking back over 10 years of my life, which is a really, really long time to try and reflect. But yes, so somewhat similar. Obviously, if you're Nigerian and most likely have Christian parents, you will be a Christian in one way or the other, right? We do the whole shebang. We're forced to go to church. Well, I use forced, quote unquote, because did you really have a choice? You had to go to church with your parents for the most part, whether or not you liked church or didn't, because honestly, I hated waking up Sunday mornings. There's nothing I hated more and nothing I still hate more than waking up early on Sunday morning. So that going every time, I remember my mom would come and wake me up like on Sunday morning early, because our church was really far away from our house at the time, because my parents have basically gone to the same church all my life. I think maybe the first 2 years of my life or year, but my parents have gone to the same church for most of my life, so that's like family church, right? So yeah, of course go to the same church every Sunday. But yes, when I left Nigeria, and the thing is, it's tricky, right? Because we move out of home quite young.
Yeah,
especially is either you move out of home when you're 10 and you go to boarding school, and you have you are introduced to like a different style of church depending mm-hmm. on what it's like in your school. Obviously there's some people that go to more religious schools that they really pound, and some I do have like a problem with some of those very religious church school type situations, because I do think they can be damaging to young people in how it frames their relationship with God. But maybe that's a topic for another episode. But Diana and I went to the same secondary school, so the church was like, was it even a church? Diana, do you remember who was our, I actually remember him, the guy who was our
PJ.
Yes,
Pastor Jerry.
Exactly. It was really fun. I liked him a lot because he didn't make like being a Christian, he tried to make it fun, but not fun in the way they make it now, where, you know, they kind of blur the lines between the world and God, essentially. So it was a really, like, it was chill, pretty Pentecostal, normal Nigerian type life. But then after that, I moved to Ghana, and it was a completely different experience too. It was still Pentecostal, but I think for me, it's like the church experience, because I was going to say my faith, but no, the church going experience, which is different from like my personal relationship or when I commune with God on myself. The church experience, I always look for very specific things. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of how I grew up or the type of like experience I've had in my family. So, you know, like how Damla was saying she hated the church that she went to. I also had that when I was in Ghana for a bit, right? It was just like the songs they used to sing, the way the guy even used to preach, but I had to go every Sunday because I didn't have a choice. And so I remember, you know, when you're in church, I used to almost dissociate sometimes. Like I would just almost black out because I wasn't paying attention to what they were saying. So that was Ghana for me. Of course, I was still like on my thing, you're a Christian, yes, but I feel like I fully like Damola, even though I was away from my parents, like I was in a different country. It was like you're still being forced to go to this place. So until the choice is up to you, you don't truly know where you stand. And I also didn't get that until Hungary. And so I remember, I'm trying to remember even the first 2 years I was in Hungary. I did, that one obviously doesn't know the old venues where Ahaz used to be. Actually, no. You might know. Do you remember, what is that? There was like a hotel. Yes.
Yeah, I heard that's where they used to meet, yeah. But I didn't actually go there.
Oh, because I feel like we had services there when you were there. Yeah, so that was the original location we used to have in like some random hall. I don't remember how I got invited, but I just know someone invited me. And then it was like me and my Ghanaian friend, and like I took him along. And so, but then it wasn't like I wasn't serving or anything, but it was like, you just go every like Sunday. I was young. I was just like, oh, freedom. We're doing whatever we want to do. So yeah, that was really it for me. I know that this is not the question you asked. I'm telling a story.
It's okay. You need to give context.
Yeah, if anything has changed. But I think that just through the past 10 years of my life, right, I think my understanding of who God is has completely shifted, in the sense that growing up in Nigeria as a Nigerian girl, we're used to a very specific kind of preaching. Well, at least the church that I went to. And you know, when you go to Sunday school, at least my church, they never really used to teach us anything deep. It was always very surface level. So again, my understanding of who God was very surface. I just believed, I remember, and I do believe, yes, we have to like fear and revere God. But I was very scared. You know, that scared, but not scared in a way that, oh, I'm scared and I love you and I don't want to hurt you, but scared that you're going to punish me if I do anything wrong. So that was my understanding. So it did. So my relationship with God was within that context for the first half of my life. And then into the second 19 up until now, it started to morph. And of course, currently, is what I will say about my relationship. But I think I'm at a point in my life, or I've gone through so many different things in my life, even up until last year, right? I didn't think this is an episode I would ever have felt comfortable wanting to speak, because there were points through last year where I was just like, do you know what, God? I actually know that you exist, but I'm sorry, like, piss off, right? Like, I just didn't care. But even prior to that, I had also gone through points in my life, even when I was hungry, where I questioned God. I questioned his purpose or plans for me and my life and yada, 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 yada. But to date, last year was my toughest test. I mean, and I feel like I'm still in some parts in that test period in which, like, I'm still every day slowly but surely trying to claw my way back out. But the one thing I would say is that never stray too far. Like, never believe that you can never find your way back. So if there's anybody listening, never believe that you can't find your way back. There's with God, there's nothing like you can, like, he's with you forever and ever and ever, even before you existed. Let's be quoting scripture and things like that, right? Even before you even existed, God was there. He still will be, even when we cease to exist in this world, right? So I'll let Diana speak, because I've gone on for too long.
No, Shia, before Diana speaks, I think one thing I really liked that you said was you are still going through a test period, but you can still have the freedom to speak about it. And I think that for me, that's one of the things that I appreciate about, would I say, my faith, my relationship with God, is the fact that even when I am struggling, I have the room to struggle. Do you get, like, I don't have to appear to have it all together. I don't have to appear to, like, I want to be able to say, you know what, I don't really feel like praying right now, or I feel very far from God right now, and that's okay. Or maybe I haven't been to church in a while, and that's okay. Like, I'm not telling people to stay away from church, but it's like understanding that people are at different points in their journey, in that relationship, and, you know, having room for that to happen. Because to be honest, I feel like growing up, in especially in Nigeria, we had kind of two extremes. So we had one extreme where, like, we saw places where anything goes, anything was allowed. There were no rules, nothing. Everybody was just free to do whatever they want. And then we had the other extreme where, you know, everything was really, really strict. A lot of younger people did not have an expression. So they did not have room to express themselves, did not have room to say exactly what they were struggling with. So I think I appreciate the balance now where people can be honest and authentic. But before I talk too much, Diana, please, what do you have to say?
For me, I mean, I've listened to both of you and I really appreciate the honesty in this episode. I'm not like we're never honest, but like I just appreciate the openness and the willingness to like just share whatever struggles and yeah, all of that. So my, I don't know, would I call it a faith story? I'm not sure. And please, I know that people were having monologues when y'all were talking, but please interject me at any point or whatever that thing is called. And yes, so my faith story, if I should say, has always been a, how do I want to even describe this? I don't know. But it's always been, for me, it's very interesting, but in everything that has happened in my struggles with my faith, I am super glad for the foundation where is it in which I started or how I was brought up. So that foundation for me has always been the one thing that is important in any and everything that I'm going through. So I've been through periods where I don't think I've ever come to a point where like I have questioned my faith. I have just been at points where I'm struggling with making sense of the things that are happening and then having to question, having to be like, oh, do you see what I'm going through? Do you think it's time to help right now or no? So I think that has just been my thing. And the one time I remember like vividly that I think I would never forget. It was like, for me, I think that was the turning point in my whole faith journey. I think it was in 2005. I don't want to get the year wrong, sorry. 2016. So that's the 2016. So I remember going through like a really tough, difficult period in my life that day I was just, it was raining. I remember very well. It was raining. I was spent from crying and just questioning like, why am I here? What am I doing here? And I had this friend who would always like send sermons. It was Travis Green album. I think it was that time of Travis Green album as well. You know the album, On the Hill There's a Cross? Yeah. So it was that time and I remember there was, I can't remember exactly the song. Now I've forgotten, but I used to remember. But like, I remember just having this, I think that was the first time I also heard God. I mean, not the first time I heard God, but the first time I knew that it was God speaking to me. So, and I remember like, I was really desperate for a name to kind of like know him by, because I don't know, I read something that people go through situations and then they question God and they're like, it's like they need a name to just kind of like always hang on to God by. And I was at that point where I just needed a name to like, whatever I'm going through, I know that you are this person to me. And I remember, I feel like I've forgotten the name and it's making me like not happy at the moment. But like, I remember him just saying that he is going to be, he's like, gosh, I freaking hate that I don't remember.
It's okay name. If you don't remember.
I know it's okay, but like, it's really not okay. But yeah, sure. So,
but it really is okay.
So I just remembered like God giving me a name. And every time I would go through, and I think from that point onward, whatever thing that I went through or that I was going, I would always go back to that name and just be like, oh God, remember that you said this, and that's the name I will hold you by. I remember like, it was just like, oh, I would just never fail. And I think for me, that was the turning point in my faith, I guess. And from then on, it's always been a journey of me just seeking more of God, wanting to know more of God, wanting to just enjoy Him and just allow Him just fully take control. So it's been a battle of, for me, I think the biggest battle, I don't know, is surrendering. Because a lot of times as human beings, we just like to kind of like have, we just like to, oh, I also did this. So it's the biggest part, or the biggest, my biggest difficulty has been is surrendering, but I'm learning how to do that every day. And I'm just grateful for my local church and how just getting there and finally plugging myself in and just allowing. So I don't know, it's a lot of, but I'm just grateful for that. And that's the one thing I would say to anyone listening, is that find a local church, one that is also not just any church, but one that is interested in your growth as a human being, one that is interested in your relationship with God, one where the truth is actually preached and taught. Just find that and plug yourself in. And I promise you, because I really don't think that you can do this life by yourself, I think that you really, really do need God, in all honesty. So it just makes life easier, because it's life is a lot. So it just makes life easier. That's what I have to say. I don't know if that answers your question, Damola, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it kind of answers my question. The only thing I think from the last parts that you said, that your local church has helped you in your current season to be able to, would I say, improve your relationship with God. And I think I didn't want to ask this question before, but I want to ask now. Do you feel like your church has anything to do with how you view God? I know this sounds a bit weird, but do you feel like your church has a big role to play in how you viewed God? Or do you feel like church can have many other, would I say, purpose or advantage? Because like now, let me give an example. A lot of my closest friends right now, I would not be friends with them if not for church. So at the time, church was a very good community space. Yes, I used to hear the word of God, but I had the opportunity to meet amazing people. And even if I stopped going to church, I probably would have still kept those friends. So do you feel like church has that big of a factor to play, or no? Or you can just sit at home and figure it out?
I think church has a huge role to play, because it also, your early relationship with God, for a lot of Africans, I don't know, for me as a Nigerian, it's also from the way God is taught in the church. Do you understand? So if you constantly find yourself in church, it means that you are, so a chunk of things you know about God is from that church. Do you understand how God is? And also from the people in the church, because, okay, I know God to be this person, but I see somebody acting in a way different from what I know God to be acting. I don't know if that makes sense. It's kind of like makes you like question, like, who really is God, or am I being taught a lie or something? But I feel like, yeah, community plays a huge role with the way in our relationship with, church community, yes.
Okay. Shai, what about you?
So the question is, if the, like, going to church plays a role in friendships, or what
plays a role in your relationship with God? Because I know that some people stay in a particular church for one reason or the other. So does church, or the particular church you go to, does it really influence your relationship with God? Or you can just be in a place, have an excellent relationship with God, even if you don't like your church?
That's such a good question, and I keep saying that because every question is really good. I'm really trying to think on what my answer is for me, because I do understand, like, from both you and Diana's perspective. And I'm also thinking, like I was already saying, my parents have been in the same church for all my life, and there's a reason. And I know that reason. That reason is not just because of how they found church and everything they've gone through and God revealing himself while they've been in that church. So they do have very strong ties to that church, but it's also because of the community they found in that church, like the fellowship of the brethren, like we like to say, right? They've never found anything else. Because actually, now that I think back to it, I remember it was like a very brief period, and I was about to call the name of the church, but I won't. There was a very brief period in my life when we tried going to another church just because of, like, the commute was crazy. And you know Lagos traffic, like, you spend how many hours going, spend how many hours coming back. So I decided to try to go to a different church that was closer to our house, very close, for a period of time. And it really just wasn't the same. And I think after a while, they're just like, there's nothing like the home church that they have. So yeah, Yeah, so to an extent, I do think, but I just personally don't think, because every time that I've found God or I felt closest to God, I wouldn't say I found that in church. It was better because I was going to a church, right? Because obviously when you're, because again, I think about just like as an adult or as an individual, teenagers, your life is structured in a certain way. But as an adult and as you grow older, there are only so many spaces in which you get to engage with like-minded people, right? Even if you're at work, you might not necessarily even like your coworkers, but let's say you have the same job, you have the same company. So there is a sort of like common ground. But church is also another really, really, really big space where, like you said, we're saying about friendship, Damola, sometimes you just go to that church because, hey, I have friends here, I have like-minded individuals here. So for me, I do think that it does play a role in how, not for me, I understand why for some people it would play a role in their relationship with God, but I just think that every time like I've experienced God, it's been like in the four walls of my room, right? By myself on the floor crying or listening to a message or something like that. Because just the way I am, like in church, because again, I'm not one of those people that goes to church, and I'm not saying this in a shady way, but like rolls on the floor, right? You know those people that's like the anointing takes over and it's like, whoa. I'm not one of those people. So I've never had one of those experiences in church. Like the most I would do in church is like cry, right? But I've never been one of those people. So I wouldn't say anything like that's happened to me. But yeah, I do completely understand why for some people there is a lot of, like, church is such a powerful place. It's not just, like you've already said this, it's not just about going to listen to the message. It's about finding your communities, about finding your people. And that is what God intended it for it to be, right? A place away from the world where you come and fellowship and you meet people that your brethren, your brothers and your sisters. So yeah,
very, very, I like both your answers. I think I have my own thoughts about it, because it's quite, because if I say, oh, there are many aspects or many reasons why people go to church, people will be like, oh no, the primary reason should be to, you know, listen to the message and fellowship with people and all of that. But I think that people tend to stay in churches for different reasons. Like my mom will always say this thing. She's like, I can listen to many preachers, that I can, if someone is being blessed, I can listen, but I will not leave my church. Because she is quite content where she is. And the reason, I think the reason I brought that up is because for a lot of people our age, especially in Nigeria, there's this new, would I say, there's a shift, basically. There are lots of younger churches that are kind of geared towards our demographic. And you even see some situations, because I've had conversation with some friends where people are like, you know, what church are you going to? And when I tell them my church, they find it a bit weird, because they feel like, since I'm young, I'm supposed to be going to like a younger church, not like an older church. And there's almost a thing of, I mean, they'll tell me they're joking, but they were like, oh, don't worry, come to my church so that you can hear the word of God. I'm not saying they don't preach the word of God in your church.
Oh, wow.
But okay. I've had conversations, like even someone recently asked me, oh, what church? Because I was like, I was telling them that, oh, my friend and I went to church, and they literally asked, oh, what church did you go? Because, you know, in my city here, there are a couple of young churches, like from Nigeria and all. So when I told them my church, they were like, there was this expression. So it's almost like even among Christians, people kind of expect you to, if you really are serious about your relationship with God, you should be going to certain churches. So I think that's why I'm always curious. And among Christians, I always like to know where people's head is at. Do you get? But anyway, that's probably a longer conversation, not for this episode. So I'm just going to,
because I have so many thoughts and different things just ringing in my head about like conversations we could have. But yeah, let's just
so anyway, so obviously, right, we've talked about, we've reflected a lot about how far we've come. with regards to our faith, how far we've come with understanding the journey that each of us, and I think that all of us, even though we have maybe similar backgrounds, we don't have the same current experience, right? So what would you say you appreciate the most about your faith? What would you say, if you were to say one thing, right? One thing that if you were to talk to somebody and they're going to tell you, they're just going to ask you and shake you and say, what do you love most about the fact that you believe in God? You believe Jesus died for your sins. You believe he rose again to give you victory over that. If they come to ask you, like, what do you appreciate most about this faith? What will you say?
That Jesus loves me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Shia, what about you?
He's very mindful of me, but he loves me.
Yeah, mine is kind of like a variation of that. So mine is that I'm never alone.
That's very deep. That's very deep. My own is, maybe mine is a little more violent. Because
<That's scary.
laughs> Dada says Jesus loves me. My own motto and what I tell myself is God does not hate me and God does not want my life to spoil. So I know people think of it like love. But for me, it's the other way. So whenever I go through any very difficult situation, I'm just like, at the end of the day, God does not hate me. He's not saying he wants my life to scatter. So it gives me, so even though it's currently very difficult and I really don't understand it and I'm just really, really struggling, and maybe at the time I'm really struggling to pray, I'm struggling to, maybe I'm going to church and I'm just feeling very lost, I think that just always rings in my head. And I'm just like, because I have this faith, I have this conviction in my heart that, you know, God does not hate me and I'll be okay at the end of the day.
Yeah, so sorry, it brings the scripture to mind. The thoughts I have of you, of good and not of evil, and led to an expected end. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. I mean, I didn't always see it like that. But I actually didn't think, I actually thought mine would be different. Like, I thought mine, you guys will have much longer things to say and I'll be different. But it's nice that you guys kept it short and sweet and stuff. So guys, so I feel like we've talked about a lot of things with, you know, turning 30 and different aspects of our lives that we've reflected on, basically. I'm not quite sure how we're supposed to bring an end to this whole series, but I'm really happy that I've had this conversation with, you know, Shia and Diana, because I feel lost most of the time. And I think that when people feel like, oh, you're turning 30, you should have this life figured out and you should know exactly what you're doing. Everything should be check, 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 check. But as you can see, we're all still trying to, you know, figure life out. So I'm just going to give Shia and Diana just one opportunity to say something, anything they want from any part, whether faith, relationships, finance, just life in general, as they are now old women in their 30s. Okay, maybe not them, me. But anyway, if they want to say just one thing as we end this series.
Your foundation in Jesus is very, very important, as it literally just charts the way for you to go forward.
Okay, thank you, Diana. Shia, what about you?
It gets better with money. I said that in the first episode, but I'm saying it again. I'm joking. I could say a ton of things about going into my 30s, but you know what I'm gonna say? It gets better with money, all right? Because my life is gonna be easier. So yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, what I'm going to say is that it's okay to feel lost. You don't have to have it all together. At the end of the day, 30 is just a number. You might as well be 29 or 22. It doesn't really matter. Just continue to live life on your own terms and I'm sure everything will be okay. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Hopefully. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this episode. Please let us know what you liked about the episode. Share it with your friends. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at @lifeuncharted_. Till next time on another episode. See you. Peace and love. Love and light. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.